Well, we are beginning a brand new series today called She Speaks Truth. And over the next 3 weeks, we will be hearing from different women as well as talking about different women in the Bible that spoke truth. So today, I am especially excited to introduce to you my personal favorite speaker on the face of the planet, because she's my favorite person on the face of the planet. And, you know, my wife, Brooke, she graduated Bible College in 2004, and she's been my partner in full-time ministry since 2005. And so I'm very excited for her to come and share what God's laid on her heart. So would you welcome Brooke Headley.
Thank you. Get your stuff off. Just kidding. Well, my name is Brooke. I am Nathan's wife, like he said. Just want to tell you a few things about myself. I was born, I was raised in Arizona for all my life, and I love it there. I love the hot sun and the orange blossoms. Something else about myself, I am a self-proclaimed foodie. I'm not really a food snob. I'm not snobby about the food I eat. I just love food. I love a refried bean burrito and cheese. Like, I don't even want to hear what's wrong with refried beans because I love them, but just like a refried bean burrito with cheese. Oh, I love it so much. And okay, this is really funny. And you guys are all gonna just make fun of me afterwards. I love bubblegum ice cream. Like the bubblegum from Baskin Robbins, the blue bubblegum ice cream. But let me tell you, when you go into Baskin Robbins and people see you order bubblegum ice cream for yourself, not your children, they tend to look at you kind of weird and smile at you kind of weird, like you're special. But there is something about those little tiny gumballs that are in ice cream. And when they're frozen and then you eat them, they get like this weird grainy texture. I don't know why this nastiness that I love so much, but I do. Just a little bit about myself. Bean burritos and bubblegum ice cream. I love all food. I'm a foodie, self-proclaimed. Anyways, something that I wanted to transition today to, though, is talking about what feeds our soul. What feeds your soul? Your soul is the inside of you, your mind, your heart, and your emotions, your thoughts. What feeds your soul? What makes you just feel full on the inside? You know, what makes you just feel like you had that good meal or feel like you could just, it's just good, you know? What feeds your soul? What makes you feel at rest or at peace? For me, being with my family, I think we could all say that. Well, I don't know who your family is, but for me, being with my family is one of those, you know, when I'm out at the bonfire with my kiddos and, you know, bonfire with children, like, it's kind of craziness, but that just feeds my soul. It just makes me feel like, yes, you know, inside. Relationships feed my soul. Being with friends and just having that good laugh, or playing a board game and, you know, being kind of spicy to one another, that feeds my soul. Just relationships, friendships feed my soul. One thing that feeds my soul that really just makes me feel full and like okay is worship. When I'm standing in worship and I'm in worship to a God that is bigger than I am, it seems like my kids are gonna be okay. Like, I'm not gonna screw them up too bad. They're gonna be all right. And, you know, that fight I had with my sister, it's gonna be okay. You know, it just is. When I stand in worship to a God of the universe and raise my hands, it's gonna be okay. It just fills my soul, it fills my heart. One other thing that I wanna focus on today that fills my soul, is hearing a voice from the Lord. And that's kind of our big idea today. Hearing from the Lord, hearing the Lord speak to you, fills your soul. That sweet, small voice that says, I love you. That sweet, small voice that says, hey, Brooke, I'm here. A word from God can imprint on your soul so deep. A word from God can impact you, can change you, can move you in such a great way. a word for God for my soul is that overwhelming peace and comfort. It's almost for me, when I hear the Lord speak to me, when I hear the Lord speak directly to me, it is that firm foundation that I stand on. And I'm like, okay, I got this. I got this. I can go on. So I have four children. Babe, could you grab me my water? I'm sorry, I meant to bring that up. So I have four children. Okay, pray for me. Okay, pray for me. Three of which are boys. Okay, pray for me. Okay. Boys are rough and tough and gross and energetic and all of those good words. And you know, you guys tell me that boys are easier when they are teenagers than girls. I think you're lying to me. You're just telling me to get it through this time in my life to make me feel like, okay, it's going to be easier. On the other end, it's going to be easier. I really think you're lying to me because, let me just tell you, boys, pray for me. So this is about a year and a half ago. I'm telling you this story because my boys are so much mature now. I would never do this again. About a year and a half ago, I walk into the bathroom. My two middle boys are standing there with their pants down, about a foot and a half away from the toilet. And they're both peeing into the toilet at the same time, seeing who can hit it. Okay, this is not okay. I grew up with girls. At this point, I'm taking away all masculinity and making them sit down and pee from now on. At this point, I'm taking away Christmas. This is not okay. I grew up with girls. This is not all right. You know, I worked in childcare. I worked at a children's shelter for multiple years. I've worked in preschools. I've worked in kids ministry here and at other places. And I know from all of my training that to direct a child or redirect a child, you walk over to them, you talk to them in a calm voice, you get down at their level, you know, down here, and you talk to them, and that's how you direct a child or redirect a child in the way you want them to go when they're misbehaving. But when there is pee being shot on my ceiling, there is none of this training comes back to me. It is just erratic mom yelling and screaming, all of these things. But really, truly, honestly, when I do remember my training in these moments with these amazing boys that God has given to me to teach me and grow me in patience, they really tend to listen better. And for my kids, you know, because they're my kids, I can do this. I take them by their like sweet little cheeks and I say, look at me, you know, that mom voice, look at me. They really do. They really tend to obey and listen and hear the seriousness in my mom voice. Look at me. Today, I really wish that it was socially acceptable to take each of you by your sweet cheeks and just say, look at me. Look at me. God wants to speak to you. You can hear from the Lord. You know, we make hearing from God so complicated. And in some ways it is, and in some ways it's just not. God wants to speak to you. We were made to hear from God. God wants to speak to you probably more than you even want to hear from him. John 10:27. There we go. My sheep recognize my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If you're just checking out this church for the first time, or you're checking out God right now, I just want you to know that we believe in a God who is real and alive today, that we believe in a God that speaks to us and wants to be involved in our lives today. Some of us are afraid to hear from God. You know, what would God say to me? What would God have to say to me? Some of us are afraid to hear God's voice. But when we can truly grasp how much God loves you, when you can truly grasp how much God is for you, how he wants the best for you, how he's on your team, how he's your greatest fan, how he desires you, when we truly can grasp that, you can no longer be afraid of what God has to say for you. Now, God does bring correction, but more than just like a whip coming down or a lightning bolt that's going to like shoot off all my hair in cartoons. more than any of that, God brings correction like a loving parent, whom I'm not always loving. I can trust that God is a loving parent, come along with correction and guidance and lead you. Point number one, there are different ways to hear God speak. There are different ways to hear God speak. A hearer, a feeler, a knower, or a writer. We're going to go over some of these different ways. I think that we have a misconstrued idea that you can only hear God one way. You can only hear God this audible voice. Or you can only hear God, you know, when you pray and then he speaks. You can only hear God one way. And there's, I want to open your eyes up to different ways to hear God's voice speak to you. Some of you might be the hearer in that list. Some of you might pray and really just hear a voice that could be your conscience that you've said multiple times, and maybe that's God. And as you pray, God speaks. You pray, God speaks. Some of you might be feelers. You might not hear that voice in your head. You might just feel it. You might just feel it in your heart. You just feel a peace about something. Should I buy that car? Should I buy that house? Should I do this or go there? And you just feel that peace in your heart, and you just know. You're a feeler. Some of you might be knowers. Some of you might have been in the Word lots of times, have heard God speak multiple times in services or over the years or in your past. And the knower is the person that in that moment, in that right exact moment when you need it, that scripture verse comes back up. That scripture verse comes to your head. That word that you heard God speak comes right back to you. And as that is knowledge that you have gained in the past, I believe that is God bringing that right back up to you at the right time and speaking to you again through that. Some of you might be writers. Some of you might journal and write things out. Journal your prayers or your thoughts or your dreams. Some of you might be writers and let God speak to you through your writing. Let that come out to you. And maybe you'll go back and read that journal from a few years ago. And that's what you need in that moment. That encouragement might be what you need in that moment for what you're going through today. Maybe you're a writer. Maybe you hear God different in different seasons. Maybe you hear God in all of those ways. Whatever it is, I want to encourage you to begin to think of the different ways that you can hear from God. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I have it wrong in my notes. Read the screen, Brooke. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. This is the greatest invitation that we have. This is the greatest invitation in the world that the creator of the universe is saying, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. When sin came into the world, Adam could no longer see God. And he could no longer walk side by side with him in the garden. That was taken away. And since that time, or after that time, God so badly wanted to redeem our fellowship. It took thousands of years. It took intricate preparations. And it took a huge price of Jesus, his son dying on the cross, to open the way back to have that close relationship with him again. We serve and belong to a God that yearns to speak to us and yearns to have that relationship with us. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That's a promise in God's word. These words just aren't fading. These words just aren't something we read, and they're good for the moment. Woo! This is a promise that God has made in his word, and this is something that we can stand on. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Number two, hearing God's voice may take practice. Hearing God's voice may take practice. And it might not always come. You know, for me, I pray and I just want him to be a magic eight ball that I shake up. You know, I shake it up really hard and I'll shake it really, really, really good. And tell me yes or no. Oh, boom. Tell me yes or no, God. Tell me yes or no. And just every time it comes, it happens to be a try again later. You know, I'll get that every single time. So God does not always, there's not always an answer or a formula or a clear direction. You know, sometimes when I'm like, God, tell me what to do. Tell me what to say. Like, yes or no, God, that's all I'm asking. God, I'm making this real simple for you. That's all I'm asking. Tell me yes or no. And a lot of times I just hear, I'm with you. Brookie, don't worry. I'm here. That's not really what I want to hear, God. Thank you, though. Rarely, God lays it all out for us in a pretty picture, you know? Rarely does he just say, here is every step to take and every way for a good life that I've planned for you or for the direction that I have for you. He rarely lays it out. It's more of a day-by-day and moment by moment for me. Anyways, I pray that God lays it all out for you, because it's a lot easier. God will always speak in accordance to his word, his Bible. He'll always speak in accordance to it. He won't be contradictory to his word. Because let's be honest, sometimes I'm not single-minded and I'm not double-minded. Sometimes I honestly am triple-minded. I don't know if that is God speaking, if it's me speaking, or if it's the burrito, you know, from last night, because that happens. I want to encourage you to honor God when he speaks to you, or when you feel like he speaks to you, to write it down and then wait on it. To write it down and then seek confirmation in his word about what he has said to you. Let's make sure it wasn't that burrito from last night. Because that does happen, and we are wrong sometimes. Hearing God's voice takes practice. His ways are higher than ours, and his thoughts are greater. We have a plan, and his plan is better. We have a way, and his way is greater. Let's seek God's voice. Number three, hearing God's voice takes hunger. Hearing God's voice takes hunger. The depth of how much I hear God is directly connected to my hunger for him. Our hunger for him is directly connected to how much you're going to experience God. Are you hungry for him? Are you hungry to hear him say, I love you, I'm here? It's my responsibility, it's our responsibility to be intentional to not fill our heads, our hearts with just so many other things. For me, I know, you know, if I'm going through something or something happened or I'm frustrated, I'll go to my husband and complain. Sorry. And then I'll go to my mom, and then I'll go to my sister, and then I'll have coffee with a friend, and I'll have all of these words and all of these advice, which are good things most times, but I don't leave room for God. I haven't left room for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to speak directly to me. Make time for your Heavenly Father. Make time for your friend. Make time for your lover. Make time for your Heavenly Father. We're going to go to Mark. We're going to go to Luke 10:38. Mine is marked by a cute little boy. Mark 10:38-42. I'm going to read it off the screen because I think I have a different version. No? Nope, I don't. I'll read it here. All right. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a village where a woman named Martha welcomed them into her house. Her sister Mary sat down at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was worrying over the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come help me. What am I hitting? Something's hitting. Tell her to come help me. Now, Martha's not doing anything wrong. She's preparing dinner. She's preparing a homemade from scratch dinner. You know, there was no quick pick up, you know, your ox, you know, service down the road. There was no quick make a meal, microwave, no pressure cookers, which I hear are amazing. Mother's Day. She was working hard. She was serving in the kitchen. Don't you feel her working hard? Mary, get off your butt and help me out, please. Verse 41 and 42 says, and Jesus and the Lord said to her, dear Martha, you are so upset over all these details. There is really only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it, and it won't be taken from her. We get so busy with the details of life. I know I have three kids. They're awake with the sun. My littlest one, I have four kids. Pray for me. I have four kids. They are awake with the sun. My littlest one especially. You know, the sun is awake, so I'm awake, so I have to play. That was my only Disney quote. You are welcome. From there, my days are filled with, you know, feeding those little faces and laundry and cleaning up sticky things and getting them dressed and more laundry and dropping off and picking up and laundry and wiping up more sticky things. And I really don't know how that table can get so sticky so many times a day, but it can, and I'm wiping all day and more feeding faces, more wiping up sticky things and more laundry. It's my life. None of these things are bad or wrong. They're all things. And if you are a full-time mommy and work full-time, you are my hero. My sister-in-law works full-time, and she's a great mother. She grocery shops and cooks dinner. I'm sure not every night, but she helps her daughter with homework. And she gets it all done, and she irons. Like, this astounds me. She's my superhero. She is. Most of us are like Martha. And we're not bad. We're just human. We're just human. We've got so much stuff going on. We've got to go here. We've got to go there. We've got errands. We've got jobs and businesses. We've got to eat, and we've got kids and grandkids. We have minivans to fill and unfill and then pick up all the trash inside of them. We're not bad. We're just human. Mary figured out what was essential. And the message, it says, only one thing is essential. I love the way that the message puts this. One thing only is essential, and Mary has chosen it. There's another version that says, one thing that is necessary, that fills your soul, and Mary's found it. Mary has found what fills your soul. She set herself in a posture of worship and a place to hear from God. She set herself up to receive from the Lord. She has found what is essential. What's the one thing worth being concerned about, and what is necessary to let the Lord speak to you? Maybe today Jesus is saying, are you so worried? Are you so anxious? Do you just have so much stuff? Maybe he's saying, come and sit down. Receive from me. I want to speak to you. Maybe this week, as you're going throughout the week, you take a few minutes, whether it be on your lunch break in your car, whether it be after you switch over the laundry and it's drying, because it has to dry now. Maybe you take a few minutes and just be quiet and be still. And let those things of the world just sit right here. Let those demands just be right here for just a minute. And allow the Lord to speak to you. Draw near to God, and He will meet you. And let His words fill your soul. Can I pray for you? God, I thank you that you want us. I thank you that you want me. You want to be in relationship with me. You want to hear me talk, and you want to speak to me. God, I thank you that for each person here, you want to be in relationship with them. You want to hear them talk, and you want to speak to them. God, I pray that as this week, as we all draw near to you, you meet us. Begin to speak your loving, kind words to us. Let us recognize your voice. We love you, Lord. Amen.